Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Spray continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Spray.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Spray.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hello, it is the final hour of the old radio program. Dirt and Spray, we got Swag over there wearing his, is it fuchsia? Pink?
Yeah, fuchsia.
Fuchsia's the right.
Fuchsia works.
Yeah, okay. I'm sometimes colorblind here, so
no, that's
I don't
okay.
Know.
Yeah, you're in the right ballpark.
Wearing my big Timbers hat, they let me down this weekend. They lost the loop.
It was
going to
be
game.
A tough effort. I thought after Velda's goal, maybe they'll, like, if they would have earned a draw, that would have been a big deal.
What was it 2-1 at that point, right?
No, that tied it up.
Oh, tied it at
so
one.
So they gave up one very early.
Yeah.
Brian Fernandez, who is their top player, international player from, I believe it's Colombia.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so Velda got one. They took advantage of a turnover, sloppy play on the back end from America. And then they just couldn't generate anything else. And you saw the overall team speed and skill of America overwhelm the Timbers. And we're reminded where the MLS is as a product worldwide.
Yeah, they let us down a little bit, but nonetheless, they gave us some action over the weekend. It's a little bit of a slow weekend. A baseball team, Mariner fans are kind of going through it. I'm a Braves fan. We lost to the Yankees this weekend, damn near got swept. So, you know, interesting weekend nonetheless. Anytime you get to the point where former NBA players are announcing they're transgendered to own people, I think you just, like, you say, okay, that was that weekend of sports action that I don't want to get into.
Yeah, no.
A lot going on in the NFL. We just had a massive injury for the Lions. That was just announced. The Bears lost their wide receiver for the entire preseason.
For the preseason, they're hoping it's...
I mean, if he's not practicing, it's...
Well, he hurt it in practice.
Well, I know, but, like, if he's out now for a month, because we're a month away, dude.
No,
in a
I
month,
don't.
We got NFL action.
I understand that.
Got the Seahawks and the
I
Patriots.
I got my fantasy football draft notification.
I had to quit fantasy football.
This is just my buddies, so
I get it. But
it's not a lot of money. And
it was my cousin and all his friends, yeah. And they were very great. They're all Husky fans, but they're great. I had to quit. I can't keep up. Dude, here's the thing about football. My brother-in-law asked me this on Friday after the show. He goes, what do you know about money leagues, like you buy the picks, you buy the players?
Oh, drafts, like an auction draft.
An auction draft.
Yeah.
He goes, what do you know about auction drafts? I go, literally nothing. I've never done it. I've only done standard fantasy, and I just did
– Yeah.
I don't even know the differences in the leagues, honestly. I was picking defensive players, not defenses, in the last league I was in. Anyways, I told them, I don't know anything, and I'm not giving you advice. Do it or don't do it. I can't keep up. People make fun of this not being a real job, and then I'm in a fantasy league, and guys are picking up players at 11:13 a.m.
Yeah.
They're on the waiver wire at 1:15 p.m. I'm like, how? You're just spending all day looking at fantasy and who... How are you doing? I was getting my ass kicked, so yeah. I had to do what was good for me. I had to back out. You know, I knew I wasn't destined to do it very often.
I'm going to see if we can find Stuart.
He said so. We got 10 minutes with Stuart Mandel. He just texted me and asked if we could just go 10 minutes. Stuart Mandel, very busy guy, that national college football voice, joining us from The Athletic. He's going to be on. We also have the freaks list released, which is great. Oregon Duck is on this list again. I feel like he was on it last year. And so he decided to come back. We got Ryan Clark in the article, which is always nice. But Amari Washington made the freaks list of Bruce Feldman. And the reason I bring that up is because Stuart Mandel, who does a great job covering the landscape of college football, also does the podcast, The Audible, with Bruce Feldman on the wherever you find your podcasts. Also, national college football writer for a long time. You've read him before. He's been around the game for many a year on The Athletic. His latest article is about the Save College Sports Act, which has now been pushed for a vote into September. So Congress is taking the break, And then the Senate has said, let's push this to September. They're trying to make all these amendments to it, tweak it, and whatnot. So he hasn't joined us yet, but Swag is hitting him up right now. He just shot me a text, Swag, so he should answer any second. Stuart Mandel will hop on, and we'll talk a little Big Ten and where he views Oregon. You know, Oregon is one of those, like, obviously people are picking them to make the playoff. In fact, a bold take would be not, I have Oregon in the natty, or I have Oregon in the semis, or losing in the quarters. A bold take, one that I have yet to see from the people who make these predictions nationally, yet to see anybody willing to say Oregon stubs the toe, Oregon doesn't make the playoff. And that may seem absolutely insane because look how much talent they have. They've got Dante coming back. But, you know, one little tweak, one little injury, and it could be to any player not named Dante Moore. And the minute you think, oh, you're just going to coast in, at worst you're 10-2, the minute is like, oh my God, you've lost this game. Now you can't afford. And then you got a pivotal game at the end that you end up dropping. So I've not seen anybody say Oregon will miss the playoff versus you kind of look at Texas Tech not being a universal slam dunk for people. You go through the SEC and find a few teams that aren't a universal slam dunk of making the playoff. Oregon's certainly not one of those that people would say, I'm making my bracket and I'm going to leave the Oregon Ducks out. They will not make it out of the Big Ten. Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon. In some order of operation there, that's usually how people view the Big Ten standing. And then who's fourth? Is it USC? Did they finally take that step with Lincoln? Is it going to be Michigan, who has Kyle Whittingham, by the way? And I feel like we're kind of underselling Kyle Whittingham's ability, but from what we saw at the quarterback position last year, you don't feel great. You don't feel great with the spring ball stuff, and maybe they're going to look elsewhere for a starting quarterback. So it's not a really hard argument to make that you look in that conference and there's three clear and obvious top three with a USC maybe just on the outside looking in with an ability to prove them wrong or prove everybody else wrong that, hey, we're a little better than this. And so we'll talk here in just a second with Stuart Mandel of The Athletic as he has got a lot of reporting going on. His camps are underway. We just played a lot of audio from Oregon and Oregon State. And so if you missed any of the audio, I'm sure you're going to hear it throughout the day on the Fan Sports Network on multiple shows, but we dove into Oregon with Maringer and Hampton and then Oregon State with Shepard, Dahlin, and McIntyre. I can't tell if Swag has him on the line and he's just having like an extended conversation or if he's calling him repeatedly. So now I'm in delay mode waiting for old Stuart Mandel of The Athletic, who just texted me like a second ago and said, hey, this is my time window. And so Swag's trying to dial him up here so we could talk some college football. There is something happening in the sport that's been, it was rumored yesterday, and then this morning we had somebody else chime in and basically add, I'm also hearing it, but it's being framed as something that it's not. It's a very, I know that doesn't make any sense. It's a very odd way to basically say they might be tweaking the playoff in a way that nobody expected while still giving us some of what we expected them to do. If that makes any sense. If you're moving on from the 12, it's long been discussed. Is it going to be 16? Is it going to go to 24? 24 is a little comical to people. You know, there might be an in-between of those two numbers, dropping four and adding four. That might be the sweet spot, but they're not calling it the 20. They're still calling it the 16, but the 20 is a conference title game tiebreak situation where you still basically get the last four teams that can clinch in a weekend where you give us either the conference title game or something conference title game light that has the same amount of stakes as a conference title game. So we're hoping to get Stuart Mandel on. He's texting me. Is it still now? Do we have him on? Are we good? We do not have him on. Is he not answering?
No, it's just going straight to voicemail. I'm texting him and he says, call me, but it's going straight to his voicemail as we do some on-air producing.
How are you texting, but your phone's not receiving phone calls? If you didn't have service, the text wouldn't work, right?
I don't know.
That's a very odd situation you're in right now. Just give him a couple more calls. If he doesn't get to it, we can move on because I am interested to hear what, you know, the landscape of college football and where they sit with like the amount of success and eyeballs they've generated for themselves the last couple years. As we've noted, it's the second biggest sport in America. Like it's above baseball. It's above basketball. obviously hockey and soccer. But they have so many little things that they're trying to solve along the way that, like, in real time, you're watching it morph into what it's going to be in 10 years. And maybe in 10 years, it still continues to be the, we're going to tweak it because of TV revenue, TV deals, conference alignments, all of that. But right now, you're watching outside of the National Football League, like November 7th, you're going to get Oregon, Ohio State, Miami, Notre Dame. Those are just two games. I think you also, you know, early in the season, you know, Ole Miss, LSU with Lane coming back. You've got so many massive games, and we're going to watch it, and it's going to get millions upon millions of eyeballs. And yet the season's going on, the season's going to end, and we're going to talk about why is this broken or why does this need to be fixed? So we'll get to that conversation, but we got him. We got him. Stuart Mandel, The Athletic, national college football writer. You can find him on Twitter at SL Mandel. He is kind enough to join us. He's got a very busy day ahead of him right now. And so we're going to dive into college football with Stuart Mandel, also co-host of The Audible, Bruce Feldman's latest list on the freaks that he just tweeted out. That's always a delight to read. Stuart, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us. We were talking about kind of just where it all sits with Oregon and how all of the national pundits seem to put out their predictions and their picks and their brackets. And I was saying the boldest take you could say is Oregon doesn't make the playoff. I've yet to see that from anybody. Whether you think Oregon wins it or flames out early, I don't know. But nobody picking the Ducks to not make the playoff at a bare minimum with the amount of talent they have coming back.
No, and in fact, I know Ohio State was number one in the coaches poll, but I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon's number one in the AP poll. I feel like it's an unusual year where there's not a clear number one, but any of Ohio State, Oregon, I actually thought Texas might be the other candidate for number one. So I think everybody knows how loaded they are personnel-wise. My only hesitation is losing both coordinators in the same year.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at Dan Lanning and his track record, he lost Dillingham after year one, went and got Will Stein, hires Tyus Lupoi, who basically comes in with a reputation of more of a recruiter than anything else and ends up having some pretty good defensive years. I'm curious with certain coaches in the sport, when Dan Lanning approaches the line where we don't so much collectively question the coordinator hires. It's more of a trust of the guy knows what he wants, who he wants, and he knows what kind of system he wants to run.
Yeah, I mean, the sign of a really stable, you know, powerhouse program is when you can lose guys like that, replace them, and just keep going. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Nick Saban did that for 15 years. It was every time he would lose coordinators, oh, is this going to be a problem? No. Kirby Smart, same way, right? And Dan Lanning worked for those guys. So he knows how it works. Yeah, I have a lot of faith in his ability to identify, you know, who should be working on his staff. At the end of the day, you know, some coaches hire a coordinator and they basically, like an offensive coordinator, basically just say, like, go do whatever it is you've been doing at previous stops. That's not going to be the situation here. He has a defined culture and a defined way of doing things, and they're going to fit into that.
What do you make of the narrative stuff based around Lanning, where we get to the Big Ten Media Day and this is title or bust kind of mentality? They kind of own it themselves, to be fair. I read your mailbag. I love the mailbag. And somebody basically saying, like, who sits on the hotter seat or who's got the most pressure, Steve Sarkisian or Dan Lanning? And I really thought your answer was the right answer. I also thought you explained it pretty well of just, like, the pressure Lanning sits in, but also acknowledging he's 39 years old. This is year five, and he's had nothing but success. He's won a Big Ten title. Just how kind of people view Dan Lanning through the national lens of college football?
I mean, I definitely got emails all off season to the effect of he can't win the big one. And in fact, I remember early in the off season, somebody comparing it to James Franklin. Like, James Franklin never won big games. He had such an abysmal record, you know, because Dan Lanning has won big games, but because these last two playoff exits were blowouts, it's definitely caused some people to wonder, oh, can he really get it done? I think people have a short memory. I think they forget that, yes, they got embarrassed by Ohio State in the playoff in 24. They beat that same Ohio State team during the season. Can't remember if Ohio State was number one or number two, but they were very high. The Michael Penix year at Washington, that's the only team they lost to. Last year, the only team they lost to was the only 16-0 team in history. So now at some point, you know, given coaches today are judged in large part, or not in large part, but at least in part by how expensive your roster is, right? And that kind of sets expectations. Texas going into this year, and why I said the pressure is so high on Sark, is they're believed to have one of, if not the highest paid roster in the country. They brought in this amazing portal class. And everybody knows Oregon's up there too. But for the reasons you said, I mean, it's hard to argue with the record. Mm-hmm. Each Oregon coach that comes in, you think, well, they can't possibly outdo the last guy, right? They can't possibly outdo Chip Kelly or Mario Cristobal, and he has. My gosh, to go 17-1 in the Big Ten his first 2 years in that conference, I just anybody that's judging him by the games, by those two blowout losses, is just missing the bigger picture.
Stuart Mandel, our guest here at The Athletic, does he have the best quarterback in the nation?
Yeah, possibly. There's a lot of guys that could wear that hat this year, obviously. You know, again, Dante Moore, I think, gets dinged a little bit because of those two Indiana games, especially last year's. I would argue that it doesn't help when you have zero running backs for the quarterback. But so there's not like he's looked at as 100% sure thing. But he really won me over with the overtime game at Penn State. The USC game, like a lot of big performances last year, but I think he will continue to have questions until he, you know, leads them to either a Big Ten championship or deep into the playoffs. And you know, Trinidad Chambliss is really good too. Arch Manning, I'm not as high on as some people, but I can concede that he's very talented. PJ Carr, Notre Dame, like several people in that conversation.
Stuart, if we were to sit in the same, you know, circle of Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon are your top three in the Big Ten in whatever order you want to put them in, if we agree on that, the fourth one that's pretty trendy for people is USC, right? They return their quarterback. People think Lincoln Riley's recruiting and the way he's paid attention to the defense the last two seasons is a little more serious than when he got there. And so maybe USC jumps into the conversation of the playoff. I continue to feel weird about saying we are underrating Kyle Whittingham a little bit. He's going to Michigan. I know Underwood didn't show us the greatest amount of skill set there, but given the circumstance of the previous coach and everything that was going on behind the scenes, what you make of Michigan going in year one with a coach with the resume and track record of Kyle Whittingham?
Well, you hit on me. First of all, he's a fantastic coach, and I think absolutely the right kind of hire after what happened with Sherrod Moore. But you hit on the issue. Bryce Underwood, for all the hype, was pretty underwhelming last year. He's a true freshman, so you give him a little bit of slack. Obviously, Dante Moore was not very good as a true freshman. But then he comes out in the spring game, and it's the same exact thing. So right now there's some questions on whether he's really the guy. But, he and his OC did a great job last year with Devin Dampier at Utah. So there's a lot of thought he could do the same thing here. It's a big, big culture change at Michigan. It's been, if you consider Sherrod Moore to be an extension of Jim Harbaugh, like that tenure is over, and it's a whole new kind of way of doing things. And that means I don't really know how they're going to do in year one.
Yeah. I think it's the toughest thing to gauge because we know how good of a coach he is, but like who's going to come back, who's going to improve, Underwood obviously being the biggest question mark of that. I know we don't have you for very long, so I just got kind of one more for you initially. And look, I think we should all be allowed to give thoughts in August and then maybe reconsider or see some evidence and reshape how we view the sport. Do you think Oregon at a minimum is a semifinal team this year?
Yeah. I think if they come short of that, it's disappointing. Now there's all kinds of randomness in the playoff that can contribute to that kind of thing. Miami being a great example last year from the other direction. But they definitely have the kind of team that can make that run.
Okay. Sleeper team for you is who in college football? Who will jump up and get our attention and we're not talking about them enough?
Houston. Everybody's focused in the Big 12 on Texas Tech and BYU, and understandably so. Willie Fritz, one of the great coaches nobody talks about. They actually won 10 games last year. Nobody really noticed. Definitely think they're capable of winning the Big 12.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Oregon State has to play Texas Tech and Houston. They almost beat Houston last year in Corvallis and then choked away the lead, much like most of their season last year. Stuart Mandel, The Athletic. Yeah, check him out at theathletic.com and doing great work on the pod with Feldman. Thanks so much, Stuart, for joining us. We always appreciate the time.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Stuart Mandel of The Athletic joining us a little late, but we finally got him.
Yeah.
Not sure what the issue was there. I don't know. Technology and stuff.
And stuff. Yeah. And stuff.
But we got him.
We got him.
There you go, Duck fans.
Four questions. I think I got four questions.
That might have been five.
Was it five?
He had some bonus lightning round stuff there at the end.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I was told he had a good go.
I know.
Had to do a jam's worth in there, you know what I mean?
I was the duck's feet under the water, just paddling incessantly, trying to figure out how to get him on the phone.
Well, I could tell you were just having a conversation because I can't see where you're at with the phone.
Yeah, I know. The phone's behind the way, and I got screens in front. And so, yeah, no, I was dialing. I was switching lines. I was trying to, then I texted him.
Yeah, he didn't sound like he was in a car, by the way. Maybe he was.
No, maybe. I don't know.
He's going to be driving.
Maybe he's got, one of those soundproof,
A disappointment if they don't get to the semifinals.
I think that's a fair statement for all of Duck Nation.
Including the coach.
Including the coach.
When you say Tyler Buster, you lean into it.
So,
not that he said it, but leaned into it.
There's different scenarios that could cause that to come to fruition, and the disappointment would, change based on what it was. Obviously, you can never... Injuries are always something that the wrong injury at the wrong time, and it kind of takes things out of your hands. But
well, there's Stuart Mandel. We got a Freaks and Geeks, or a Freaks and what is it? The biggest, not Freaks and Geeks. It's a television show. It's the Feldman article, the biggest freak list. That's what it is. The freak list of 2026. There is a duck on here again. I think he was on this last year. And a couple notes I want to jot down. And then also, we got an update in something in college football that is being discussed today and how we feel about that. We'll get to it next, hour number four on The Fan.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, welcome back in. 929, Portland sports leader.
40 cats and kittens on an abandoned ship in Commencement Bay.
Yeah, is that two from, a questionable character who then made it? Was it six?
How long has the boat been out there? Was it, a few adult cats, and the adult cats then had litters while the boat has been, how long the boat has been out there?
The story I'm reading from the Tacoma News Tribune says there are clear signs a potential owner had been attempting to care for them. They've been clearly fed and watered, but they've been on the boat for some time.
So where's the owner?
I don't know.
Okay.
Did he just jump overboard?
I don't know. But when you need to take a time out from family and stuff on your vacation, or Disneyland has beat you down, you can just step aside and see if you can find...
You should look at the photo of this. The inside where you would be driving this boat, it's just, there's cats everywhere. They're all over.
It's like a Hoarders episode with Cat Lady,
right? It really is. I mean, anytime you watch a Hoarders episode, I feel like there's cats involved.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I remember watching one with a real fat lady. she had molded to the couch.
Sorry, you might have had something productive here to talk about, but that story, I'm like, what is going on?
The cat?
The cat story with a boat out in the middle of Commencement Bay in Tacoma. What's going on?
I don't know. Tacoma Animal Control is involved here.
Well, good. Well, hopefully they can find, at least it looked like.
Dude, these aren't the same species either. This is there's 15 different
types
of cats.
They're all different colors and
shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if they're related. Pump and dump, I guess. I don't know what they're doing there. But I remember watching an episode of Hoarders once, and I don't really watch shows like that. They make me wildly uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I'm okay being uncomfortable, but I don't actively seek out television that'll make me uncomfortable.
Uh-uh.
Unless it's funny. And then funny uncomfortable is great.
Hoarders is never funny.
Well, it can be if you're not a hoarder, because then you're how did you...
Exactly.
Anyways... big old lady was on Hoarders.
Of course.
And, her arm was stuck to the couch because she doesn't move. And they walk in and there's trash and you literally can't see the floor, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they opened up one of the dining room areas. And I'm talking trash from the floor till about 70% of the ceiling. They start going through it. They begin to bring a big dumpster in. They just start clearing it out, right? As they're going through
they
the
find
piles.
Families of cats?
Dead cats.
Oh.
All over. And I just thought, what? How? I don't know how people get there, but they get there.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know, you can say it's made for television, but that's disgusting to make that disgusting. For television.
Yes.
What was I going to talk about here? Oh, yeah. Speaking of 40 cats, how about 40 teams in the college football playoff?
We've gone from 16 to 24 to 40?
No, we have not. I joke. I just wanted to use the number. So this one was actually first talked about out loud by our very own Josh Pate.
Okay.
He was teasing his program coming up on a Sunday night. You can listen to it today. And he was talking about the extended playoff because we have college football leaders getting together because
if they're going to expand it further, they have to have it in place. I saw a date December 1st of this year.
So they're talking together, and Pate puts out a lot of talk about the 16 and 24 model. What they haven't talked about that I've heard rumblings of, the 20 team. So we split the difference.
Okay.
This was added by Heather Dinich, who added, it is 20 is starting to get, it's picking up traction. Now, here's where it gets weird, okay?
So we have the top 12 seeds are in, and then you have the bottom eight in play-in or wild card or whatever the hell you want to call it.
So we'll have seeds, you know, 1 to 16,
right?
Okay? This is from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo, added context on this. ESPN, the rights holder of the playoff, the college football leaders are throwing together a 16-team format. So they're going to call it 16.
So it'll be 16.
But we have four play-in games for the final four spots of the field, seed 13 through 16.
Okay.
There's an expectation it'll be discussed during the meeting today.
Okay.
Now, follow up on this about 50 minutes ago. Big Ten does not support the format.
No.
And the SEC and the Big Ten must agree on the format moving forward. So this one is already kind of died.
So I don't know how much detail they've gone into and how I am envisioning. So this is how I see it going out. So in your 16-team field, there will still be one spot guaranteed for the best group of six.
Correct.
End of story.
Correct.
So there'll be at least one, so we don't have to hear that they're shut out. But if they stink as a whole, we're only letting one of you in.
Yeah.
Okay. So here now is where this is going to go, because they want to consolidate the regular season so that the championship game doesn't bleed to the end of January and teams don't have to wait 30 days from when they play their final game to when they play their first playoff game. So then the conference championship games are going to go away.
No, they're not. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You're close, but the context you're missing here is, if you're playing for 13 through 16 seeds, what you're doing is you're leveling out the wear and tear in football. Because right now you have if you don't count the group of six, let's just not do that.
Okay.
You have the four conference title games.
Right.
SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, right?
Okay.
When those teams win those, right now I think we're sitting at a 1-8 or a 1-whatever record.
1-7.
1-7, thank you, because there's been eight. We're sitting in a 1-7 record for the bye teams. So what you hear is, this is unfair. We had to play conference title weekend. You didn't. Then you play your first playoff game. So what you're going to get is, let's level it out more. You get your conference championship games because money. And then your 13 through 16 seeds are settled the same weekend.
Oh, they're just adding play-ins. Them. So each conference will have the play-in.
So mostly your field outside of the group of six is settled the final weekend of teams.
Yes.
Because very rarely, I think, will we get a Duke-Virginia ACC title game where the winner is not the representative, it's Miami who didn't play.
So,
but they could be in a play-in because Miami was, what, the 10 seed last year?
Yeah.
And they made the title. So if Miami's kind of hovering around that, or any program is, you might have play-in stuff to solve.
So are we having then automatic bids? Is there like the top two in each Power Four conference?
I don't know any more information. Okay. And also the Big Ten already doesn't support this.
Well, I know. They've been consistent. The 24-team model.
They want the Big Ten or the 24.
And yeah, that's what we're sticking with.
I mean, eventually, I personally think, because I don't know who's going to win the title this year. Could be the Big Ten.
Nobody wants 12 anymore. So I think put...
Which I don't like that. Like, I'm okay expanding because there's so many programs. The schedules are lopsided.
Yeah.
The conferences are too big. I also totally understand the people who don't want to expand more than 12. 12's pretty good.
The only reason...
Can't freak out because 2 years.
I am for expanding to 16, 20, 24.
Right.
Is if you get it enough down the road... where it is now safe for college programs, top-tiered college programs, to schedule games fans want to see with their non-conference.
That's the
and
problem.
If that happens, then I'm all for it.
I hope we get there. I want that to get there. Who did Oregon just schedule a non-conference last Friday?
Sac State.
Do you know who they're playing that year, by the way, in non-conference?
Not anybody
else. A whole lot of that.
Yeah.
Like Dirt... You know, rightfully, by the way, giving Indiana a lot of flack because Cignetti's like, Google me, yeah. I win, I'll beat anybody. But he won't schedule non-conference. And I'm starting to worry that unless something comes out and they agree to something, I mean, what was that, 2028, right? The agreement for Sac State?
Yes.
I think we looked up their non-conference, and it's like North Dakota State, Sac State, and Alcorn State. It's just like it's not any program. Like there's an entire non-conference season that doesn't matter. It's preseason. It's warm up.
Now, is that when the – are they back doing Civil War games, or is that
– I forgot what the window was there and that gap between the Civil War, but it's not all – it's not a great non-conference.
28. Yeah, Oregon State kicks back in. North Dakota State, Sac State, Oregon State.
I mean, Oregon State, you can get some emotional pull at least locally, but
– at least that game's in Corvallis.
Okay. But where are they at as a program? If they're still in, you know, hey – be patient with us in Corvallis. That game's not going to be close. So you're not seeing a universal like
and
we're 29, not playing
anybody, 2029 is Portland State, Utah State, Oregon State. All at home.
That's back-to-back years of no real non-conference. And I'm not going to give Oregon grief for it. Everybody
that's the
said,
model right now.
That's the model. But it sucks that that's the model. Whether it's 12, 16, or
we'll
24,
we'll see if the
fans
speak with their tickets and their butts and you know, start.
I don't know if it's
saying,
enough. TV revenue is so high.
I understand
boosters
that.
Boosters aren't going to stop donating because you pay North Dakota State.
If it becomes noticeable and something that the school has to answer for because it keeps getting brought up, even though they probably don't want to hear it.
I mean, it's terrible, right? Duck fan can't be happy about that. No fan base is happy.
Tickets
when you're
keep going up. You got to put your donation to the Duck Athletic Fund
This is
what I'm getting for half of my home schedule.
The percentage of people that drive down, make the game just in time to get in the gate, and get out right away, that's not normal. The percentage of people, that's their whole Saturday.
Yeah.
So you're pregame and you're hanging out,
and you
North
want
Dakota
them,
State.
You know, you want them to be down there all day.
I know, and I wish
that's
we
not as a lot of incentive to be down there.
Collective all day. Sport could get their heads out of the you know what's and say, let's play real teams. We sprinkle in a patsy, an easy game,
or one regional, local, traditional rival
Oregon
or
State
something.
Continues.
There
whatever,
you go.
You know, but
your other two need to be from the other three Power Fours.
Yeah, and some years you'll have not good Power Four teams, and some years you'll have, man, that game's going to be tasty. Give us that as sports fans. But they talked about it today, the 16-team model with four play-ins, so you can kind of level out that final weekend of championship week so everybody is not sitting idly by waiting for the conference title game, and then they play the playoff game. So that was talked about, but the Big Ten's not going to support it. They continue to move forward with trying to get 24 out of the Big Ten. The SEC will kind of continue to wait and see. Wrap it up. Have you been to San Diego? Must-dos in San Diego. I could use any and all. Isaac Ropp has given me some must-dos in San Diego.
He would know.
He would know. He's a good friend of San Diego. So we'll talk a little San Diego. Wrap it up next on 105.1 The Fan.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Sprague here hanging out, me and Swag. No Dirt. He'll be back on Wednesday. The program will be back Wednesday. I'll be out for a week.
Good for you.
Thank you. I've missed much time this year. In fact, I'd have to go back and count how many days I've missed since we did the FM launch last July. Because I don't know if it's been that much.
I don't know.
We haven't had a lot of trips on the books there. But looking forward to a week in San Diego. We have one. It's 2 days in Anaheim. So this is what I'm doing. So I fly in tomorrow to San Diego. God willing. Please let that bird land safely.
Oh, you'll be fine. Oh,
I'm getting anxiety. Then we land in San Diego kind of like around 9:30.
Morning or evening?
Morning.
Oh, you're like...
bright and early.
You're at the airport like when the show's starting.
I'll be at the airport probably about the time the show starts.
Yeah.
Land in San Diego around 9 a.m., get our rental car, and then we kind of have most of the day to figure out what we want to do because check-in times... Well, actually, we're not checking in anywhere because we're staying at my wife's cousin's house in Escondido.
There you go.
But we're going to the Padre game.
Yeah.
So
just go early and wander around, gaslight.
That's kind of how I viewed it, is just kind of go wander, get lost,
walk. Because it's right near the bay.
Yeah. Then we stay in San Diego that night after the game. Then we wake up, we drive to Anaheim along the coast.
It's good you're doing that early in the vacation.
That's kind of how
we
viewed
it. If you did it late, I could see everybody getting on everybody's nerves at that point. Because that's not going to be a fun drive.
It's only an hour and a half.
Well, assuming there's no traffic. Or reasonable traffic.
From what I've read, the traffic for that is not as bad as like other LA traffic. From what I read,
you start going up the coastline, because at some point you'll have to turn in.
Maybe we don't. Maybe we get to Anaheim early, Swag, and do whatever our hearts desires. I'm going to an Angels game. I want to take my nephew and my brother-in-law, go to an Angels game Wednesday night, because they play the Astros, I think.
Oh, okay.
Those tickets are like $10.
Yeah, that's probably dirt cheap. I'll be curious to see the difference in comparing the two ballparks.
Petco, far and away better. I don't even have to go there to take.
No, but just the experience of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The environment, Brewers in town, that's going to be a good atmosphere. And then Thursday, go to do the Disney for one day with family.
Godspeed.
It's my last Disney trip. I already told the wife, I go, I hope everybody that wants to go is going, because I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to Chicago next summer and check out Chicago. I want to go to cities.
Yes.
And not, like, theme park.
No.
You know? So we'll do that. Then we'll drive down to San Diego on Friday morning, and then we'll check into a hotel, and we'll figure it out until we fly out the following Tuesday.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to it. Any tips? San Diego tips?
I've never assuming been. You're an animal guy, you're going to the zoo.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Already booked, got the tickets.
There you go. What are tickets to that zoo these days?
Well, we got a discount.
Good, because I think you need it.
I think normal price is like $150.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
it's one of the best zoos in the entire country.
Maybe $80. Maybe it's $80 per adult, but it's a massive zoo.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go there, big animal guy.
Yeah.
So maybe,
I figured that had to be on the docket for you.
I tell you what, I will write 7 fun facts that I learn at San Diego Zoo for the following week's worth of fupdates.
Beautiful.
Instead of scouring the interwebs for animal fupdates.
There you go.
So we'll do that, and I'm just looking forward to checking it all out, man. We just missed Comic-Con.
Mm.
So that's unfortunate. I'm not doing Legoland. No offense to Legoland.
I don't think you need to do that. Now, if you and the missus want to get away and have a little evening or something, I would say go across to Coronado Island.
Coronado Island, yeah. Roper suggested that. He gave me a lot of tips, where to stay, what to do. I still haven't told him where I'm staying yet. I got to text him, but he was giving me a lot.
Go across. If it's just you and the missus and you want to go, even if it's for an afternoon, go somewhere, just happy hour, have a nibble and a cocktail or whatever. I know you're not doing cocktails, but...
I can.
Yeah, have an appetizer and just you two stare out at the ocean and get away from the family.
Yeah. You also warned me about the airport. Flying in makes you think something bad's happening.
Well,
which is great for me.
You go right through the downtown, like through the skyscrapers, and then land because the airport is right near the bay.
You're not through it. You got to be going over it.
Well, yeah, but
it looks like you're going through it.
Objects appear closer than they are in reality. So
no doubt about it. That T-Rex is going to scare the crap out of me. I'll tell you that much. The scariest landing I've ever had from any airport I've flown in, because I've had many bad airport experiences. Denver was not great because of the altitude.
They have the wind shear out there and all that nonsense.
Juneau, Alaska is debatably the worst
airport.
Now
that I understand, because I've never been to Alaska.
It's so tiny. The airport at Juneau, Alaska is smaller than our office. So it's just Alaska Airlines mostly all day. And when you fly in, if you're on the right side of the airplane, all you see is water. You don't see ground. You don't see an airport. And when they're going down, you legitimately have like a split second where you're like, I'm going to crash into the sound. And then we're just on a runway.
There you go.
So I've had experiences like that before. Not great.
So
look
yeah.
forward to it, though. Should
no.
be a good time.
But no, you should be fine. It's just, it's a different, normally airports are kind of out.
Hubbed out.
A little bit outside of
yeah.
where there's populated. In San Diego, it's so condensed that, yeah, you feel like you're going to be flying right in between skyscrapers.
I'm trying to make sure we stay clear of going too south in San Diego because certain ocean pockets are getting Tijuana crap into it.
Uh-oh.
My daughter really wanted to do surfing. I really trying to not do that.
Okay.
I don't want to be in the ocean.
There's, so right there in the bay near Petco.
Yeah.
I believe, and I don't know if it's a military museum or a maritime museum, but there has been before. I don't know if it's still there. It was a decommissioned.
Well, that's where the Marines train and
yeah.
all that.
Well, that's the other half of Coronado Island. Yeah. There's a base out there. But there was a decommissioned aircraft carrier, I believe.
Oh.
Right there in the bay for a while that people could go on and see
okay.
that.
Maybe check that out.
So that could be interesting.
The tough, overwhelming thing, I think, is like food recommendations. People swear by this restaurant or this food truck or this.
I would say.
It just becomes overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because we've already gotten that from other people
in our
lives.
If you go into the Gaslight District, there's any number. It's, yeah, just pick one.
Well, you got Little Italy. We kind of want to check. I'm not a big go eat pasta guy because pasta is just such a routine staple dinner. But like, if you got great reviews and you're making killer pasta, I kind of want to try.
There's like that, but then I went to Italy and found out what real pasta's all about. So if somebody knows what they're doing, it's worth it.
Was it better in Italy?
Oh my God!
Because there are some Americans that'll swear that it's not because they don't have the processed crap over there the way we do.
Well, no. Plus, they truly cook it al dente, and they know how to cook. And so people that are used to absolutely mushy pasta that melts in your mouth will think it's horrible.
Right.
People that appreciate pasta will go, this is how you cook
it. What did you think of the Alfredo? Because Alfredo's a
I never had Alfredo.
Oh, you didn't do any Alfredo?
I'm
not even sampling of it.
Nope. I did carbonara.
Because they just do butter, Parmesan cheese, and call it good.
Oh, yeah. It's very, we had an asparagus pesto that was absolutely to die for in one place.
I love a good pesto.
I did the traditional spaghetti and clams, which was just olive oil and garlic, and that was fantastic.
Everything's so simple over there, man.
Yep.
They got it figured out. Well, that's going to do it for me, guys. Wish me luck on my flight.
Have a great time. I hope you don't have any snafus whatsoever.
I appreciate that sentiment.
Travel snafus are the worst.
Dirt will be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow's a best of.
We'll have a best of
with
a little bit, if anything happens. I'll have a live cafe, so we'll get some fresh audio.
That'll be great. I think that'll be great. I'll be back next Tuesday. Dirt back this Wednesday. It's football season, baby. I know we talked pirate kitties, but it's football season. A lot of audio today on the show down in Eugene and Corvallis. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for hanging with us today. Always appreciate you guys hanging on the YouTube chat and the fan text line. I'll talk to you guys in about a week. Enjoy the program while out. Football season is back. The Firm with Harris Meringue is next. Thanks for listening. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.